Ed, would you please?
Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this this day, Lord. We just ask that today you would pour out your spirit here, Lord God, that you would clear our minds, Lord, that we would even clear our minds of our previous, our own thoughts of interpreting your word, Lord God, that we would be open-minded and that we would read the scripture and see what it says, Lord. And we just pray for this time, and we ask that your blessings would be upon Pastor Don as he brings forth this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can you bring up back the PowerPoint? Good morning, Miss Kim. Right there, that's perfect. That's perfect. All right, we got Anthony. Anthony's got his crown right there.
This is your crown,
man. Yeah, that was our chess tournament that I luckily won. All right. Over the, how many was it? 6 weeks? 8 weeks that you guys had the...
8 weeks.
8 weeks, okay. Just concluded 8 weeks with the parables. So hopefully that encouraged you guys. You got a little bit better understanding of the parables and their significance for our Christian walk. Very, very important. They're very prophetic also as to what was going on in the history of Israel at that time. Jesus would use those as a... kind of even to teach the Pharisees, the Sadducees, some lessons. So today we're going to begin our second part of the biblical worldview class. And if you were here before the class at on the parables, we did 8 weeks, and this will conclude it. We're going to do 8 weeks. In this second part, we're going to be looking at how the Bible addresses some areas of life. We can't get into all of it. Unfortunately, we don't have the time, but hopefully it'll stimulate to make you understand that the Bible's not just for salvation, though that is the, you know, the most important thing. Every area of life is addressed in the Scripture. So whether or not you're getting married, whether or not you have children, maybe you work in the secular world, maybe you have a ministry, whatever it is, the Bible addresses it or lays a foundation for it, okay? And so we're going to start our... All right, so this is part two. Now, if you remember, I was using, in the first half, a lot of the videos that dealt with, you know, the alien movies and to illustrate various points. So as we pick up today, I've entitled it Alien Indoctrination. We're going to see a video here shortly, which is a prime example of how the world thinks once we get away from scriptural ideas, okay? So let me ask you this before we begin. What would be a scriptural idea that society uses? Donovan is not here. I'm looking for John. Okay, Sharon?
We're not to judge.
We're not to judge. Very good. Can you think of another one?
Church and state should be separated.
Very good. What else? Anybody? Huh?
Good.
Love everybody.
Now, that's a good one. And that was actually the answer. They're all good answers, but that was the one I was looking for because the other night we went over to the University of Michigan, Dearborn. Donovan Rowe was being honored as a distinguished alumnus and the dean over the education department had selected him to receive an award. So they had all these people that had all these different accomplishments, and Kathy, she was there, and you know, I was kind of kidding Donovan. His new nickname is now the Token. He is the Token. But the thing that I noticed with every speaker is that they were all talking about how they were going to help their fellow man. That was the theme, and everyone that got up, whether they were Christian or not. One guy got up there, and he was getting an award because he had done something with the internal combustion engine. And I believe he was probably a Muslim. And then he had a couple young black guys that were Christians got up there, and they were involved in different areas of life. But every one of them got up there. And even the speakers themselves, the MCs and some of the other professors got up there. And the whole theme that I was picking up is that we want to encourage people to help people. We want to love people. And I was sitting there the entire evening thinking to myself, well, why? You know, at this university here, your main your main foundation is evolution or secularism, that man is, you know, the ultimate end of everything. But yet you're trying to tell us that we need to love one another. And this was the reoccurring theme. They didn't realize what they were doing. But I told Steve afterwards, I said, do you see how they have to steal from the biblical worldview of love your neighbor? Okay, you can't justify that under an atheistic worldview. Okay, but we can. We can say there's a God who exists. He created all. And he has commanded us to love one another and our enemies. But you can't, once again, justify that with this view. But it was funny to see, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is really a religious program. Everybody getting up there, and this is what we want to do. And they were making great advancements. But little did they realize what they were really being indoctrinated into. And then at the end, you know, they all got up and sang the fight song, didn't they? And it was amazing. I'm thinking to myself, I didn't get up and sit, you know, some people are kind of looking at me. But I'm thinking, these same people, I guarantee you, when they go to church, would probably not get up and clap and stand and kind of, you know, make a little bit of a fool out of themselves. Yeah.
It was just so funny what you just said. They all got up and talked about love, and then they all got up and sang a fight song.
Yeah. Oh, they sing it with gusto, too. I mean, they are proud. You know, and it is a proud accomplishment. Don't misunderstand me. These people, you know, I mean, they're smart people, but they don't understand the most important thing or why they're doing what they're doing. And that's the purpose of this class. We want to show you how the world thinks in a lot of areas. And we all thought that way. Okay, and there still might be ideas that we have that are not really biblical. All right, and it's important to understand. We have to investigate and find out, because our thinking has to line up with what Christ wants or what the Word of God has to say. And if it doesn't, guess who's got to change? Anybody notice what has just gone on over the course of the last couple of weeks with the Pope in Rome? But you were shaking your head, yes, Esther. Yeah, Esther is shaking her head yes and is like, yeah, Fred will tell you all about it.
I have not. I have no idea what he's thinking. But
what's he doing?
He's actually, the last couple I heard is the weekend. How did it go? We could choose our own right and wrong.
Right.
Stuff like that. He's been talking, but who's up? I mean, people can say what's right and what's wrong. I mean, what I think's right is not what somebody else might think was right, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we could take, you know, biblical marriage. I mean, a lot of people think that's right. I mean, they think it's all right for two people to get married the same sex, and I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
So where does it stop? You know,
I mean, perfect, Fred. That's exactly what's happened.
God's law.
The Pope has come out. And he gave an interview to an Italian magazine, which he never did before. In fact, this Pope called the magazine because he had promised this guy that was doing the interview that he would give him an interview one day. So they gave this interview, and the Pope said all sorts of controversial stuff. You got bishops over here in the United States that are like scratching their head, like, what is he saying? And then you've got the other guys coming out, well, he really didn't mean this, he didn't mean that. I don't know, you know, when you've got to march out somebody to explain what you're saying, it's being covered up. It's being brought across in kind of a way it can be taken either way. But that's exactly right. He basically has said that you can choose your own way. Atheists can get to heaven. I mean, it's crazy. And well, if atheists can get to heaven, then why go to the church? Okay? We are to be separate. So we're going to look here. I've got a short video here. It's the Wretched Shut Up Christians. It's about 2.5 minutes long. And if you could blow that up for us too. But I want you, as he starts this, listen to the comments that are being made. This was actually a Christian author who was trying to speak to some college kids at the University of Indiana.
Sure.
You want to hold your thought there.
Yeah.
Okay, you can shut that off. It just goes on with a bunch of. Okay, you hear this? What do you think?
All right, I heard somebody say something about free speech, but they're not letting this guy, you know, talk at all. You know, I mean, that's. I just kind of had this conversation with my niece, big time liberal, and just her attitude is, we're right, you're wrong, and so be quiet. We don't want to hear it. You know,
they were just saying, get off our campus. So you see that there's a tension in our society. You have a group of people that see something one way, and another group that sees it another way. And here you had a Christian speaker who was coming in. Actually, he's involved in debates and everything else. And so right prior to the debate beginning, these people got up. And the accusations they were throwing out are common things that we hear all the time. We're homophobic, we're this, we're that, we're this, we're that. And it's really to demonize this guy. Are Christians like, no. But is there a law that we uphold? Yes. Is there a law that they uphold? Yes. Remember what I said before, that somebody's morality is going to get shoved down your throat, whether you like it or not. It's either going to be Christianity, it's going to be Islam, it's going to be some type of secularism or some type of religious view. It's inescapable. You can't make laws if there's not a religious idea behind it motivating that particular law. Kim.
Yeah, I was saying there was a client of mine that she comes in, and I was asking her some of the stuff about the Pope. I don't want to say I'm defending him, because I don't know exactly what he said, but the world will take what he said and change it as well. I mean, they used to do it to Billy Graham. They would try to set Billy Graham up in situations, and maybe they, you know, I'm just saying that we really have to examine that closely with the Pope, just say, did he really say that? I mean, is that what, because the world would love to take him, who's a big voice throughout the world, and really, you know, change what he's saying to make it be what they want to hear.
When you have to have someone clarify your comments, and it happens all the time in the political realm, you see it with our president. You know, Carney will come out. Well, that's not what the president meant. You know, what he really was trying to say was this. When you speak and people are unsure of what you're saying, you can rest assured that it's a coded message, that they're trying to fool you. They're trying to use words or phrases. This Pope and there are other leaders that are like that. We need to be clear in what we believe and what we say. Were these people being clear what they believe? Yes.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you could really bring the level up where you could hear what they were saying, you would know, hey, do they have a creed that they believe in?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, because we believe this. We believe that, you know. So you can see. So I wanted to show you that the alien indoctrination, all I mean by that is that the thinking is different than Christian thinking. Okay? All right, let's go on here.
Pastor.
Yes.
She's right, too, in what she said, that there is nothing wrong with checking it out. When
somebody
tells you something, check it out yourself. Even Paul said, check me out. Unless it lines up with the scriptures, don't listen to me. And that's what we should do. Is what the Pope's saying lining up with the scriptures? Don't take what anybody else says. Take what he said and compare it to the Word of God.
Yeah. You know, when they start using the fancy words and terms, you know they're trying to hide something. You know, the Bereans in the book of Acts, it's when Paul came into their town, it said that they checked the scripture on everything that he said. And if it lined up with the scripture, guess what? They believed it. If it didn't line up with the scripture, they didn't believe it. So you see now in the Catholic Church, unfortunately, with this Pope, that everybody's like, you got people on one side going, okay, he's changing. You got the other people on the other side scratching their head going, what's he saying? Do you have a comment here, Bob?
It's hard in this case because some of the things that the Catholic Church is doing and has done for years doesn't really totally line up with the Word of God anyway. So it's quite a debate.
Anthony. And you know, it's not just the Catholic Church.
No,
that just happened to be one that's in the news recently.
Yeah, just for some clarification, just in case there is anybody confused, not that we're Catholic or it's like really so important, but the Pope said that somebody asked him about a homosexual young man, and he said, who am I to judge? And then also he said that the church, rather than focusing on controversial issues such as abortion and homosexuality and birth control and whatnot, he said we should focus on love. Now,
So there's always a way to say something and then say something else. You know, you can give ostensible reasons. And so he could have just said the church needs to be more loving and not so angry in their dogma and focus more on love. But he pinpointed certain issues that the world has issue with, and it's because it's a capitulation. It's a giving in.
Right, right.
Yes.
So you see that, you know, when religious leaders begin doing that, that is why it's so important for us to know what the Word of God has to say. Because, like I said, Paul was a religious leader. They tested what he had to say.
And what does the Word say about that? They said they were a more noble people.
More noble character.
So you're God exactly said right. What they were doing was good.
Yep, yep. All right, quick review. In the first half of the class, we tried to gain an understanding of the nature of the problem, and we saw that there is a world out there that thinks differently than what God, their ideas are different. And we see that more and more, you know, Fred had mentioned too about, you know, marriage. And, you know, it's not just going to be two people getting married. There's a new TV show on called Modern Family. Anybody see that yet? And it's like just a conglomerate of all, you know, of everything. It doesn't matter. And that's where we're headed to. All right? Aliens in our midst. So there's people that are promoting their particular view of the world. Was that group of people trying to promote their particular view of the world? Were they trying to influence people? Were they evangelistic? Did they have a religious zeal?
Yes.
Yeah, they had the same thing that we should have for the kingdom of God. Except their spirit, it was coming across in a very angry and mad spirit. Ours should be what? One of compassion, one of love, one of understanding, empathy. Okay? We looked at destroying all aliens. Our job is to destroy these type of ideas. All right? We have to know what the Word of God says. So when we're at the water cooler at work or we're in school or a professor says something, we should raise our hands and go, excuse me, professor, you said such and such, and enter into the dialogue with them to show them how ridiculous they are. Knowing how aliens think, and we'll see more of that as we go on, overrun by aliens. You know, we talked about the United States used to have a Christian, not that everybody was Christian, but it had a Christian outlook on everything. But that is no longer true. We have all these different ideas that now permeate society. So you have the Muslim idea of the way society should be and the Christian view, and you have the secular view. You have all these different views vying for ultimate control of all of our lives. Commonalities of all alien worldviews. These were things that we looked at, the consequences of an alien worldview. Are there consequences? Yes, there are. We see in the world today, don't we? Look at the countries that have a Muslim worldview. What are they like? Women have rights there?
No.
Okay. People stoned to death?
Yeah.
Do they have political freedom? No. Can you proselytize a different religion? No. Okay, so there are consequences of what happened. All right, so for today we want to discuss the alien thinking versus biblical thinking in some very important philosophical spheres. Like, when once again, we can't cover them all during the next 7 weeks. We'll look at some of those. All right, opening scripture, Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. In other words, no revelation, no understanding of what reality really is. Okay, and so Isaiah was telling the people that if it doesn't line up with the scriptures or God's law, that there's no light, that they shouldn't follow that. Because that's the standard. And that's what the Bereans were doing, and Bob had mentioned there in the book of Acts. They checked the word of God daily to see if what Paul and Barnabas were saying was true.
Just think about if you're in the dark and you have a flashlight, what are you going to do? You're going to follow? You can see.
Yep.
You don't follow the dark where you can. What happens when you follow the dark? Oh, you're going to stumble. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to go in the wrong direction.
You're going to end up hurt. Okay? Another video. Now, this we're going to look at, is there a God or not? So atheists cannot explain this. I want you, this is a minister. He's going to be talking. This is what I was making reference to the other night in regards to the program for Donovan. A lot of the speakers that got up there were expounding a worldview, but it actually was stealing from a Christian worldview. If you can push that ahead a little bit once it starts.
If there is not an...
Okay, there you go.
Wrong It's just your opinion that they were wrong. If God does not exist, love is no better than rape. Not in an objective way, anyway. You just may not like it. It's just unfashionable, perhaps, but it's not really wrong. If God does not exist, blowing up innocent people watching a marathon is morally no different than feeding the poor. It's just your opinion. If God does not exist, religious crusades are not wrong. I had the opportunity to debate Christopher Hitchens a couple times. I love Christopher Hitchens. He was great. We had a lot of fun. He had a British accent, so he sounded even more brilliant than he was. And you could see both our debates on our website, crossexamined.org, for free. And Hitchens kept talking about all the evil religious people were doing in the Crusades. I say, Christopher, I agree with you. Exactly. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that if there's no God. Because there's no standard of righteousness. If there's no standard of righteousness, nothing can be unrighteous. In fact, tolerance is no better than intolerance. David, with his organization, rightfully fights for tolerance for atheists. But look, if there's no God, why tolerate anything? Because there is no, in fact, there are no human rights if there is no God. Everything is a matter of opinion. If we're just overgrown germs that got here by some evolutionary process, then we're no different than any other animal. There is no objective morality if there is no God. Now, by the way, I didn't say atheists weren't good people. I didn't say atheists couldn't know morality. What I'm saying...
Okay, these are just a few of the areas. So you can see, keep it up there, the Nazis were not wrong. If there's no God, there's no ultimate standard that there's a God outside of the natural realm, who makes the rules? Man does. Well, you have one society that says killing Jews is okay. Then you have another society that says, no, it's not okay. Which one's right? Who's wrong? Well, it's ultimately settled by the power of the sword or, you know, like evolution teaches, the survival of the what? The fittest. If you want to read some fascinating stuff, you want to read Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. Everything in there was from an evolutionary perspective. You had the white race, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, which was at the top of evolutionary. That was the master race, wasn't it? And then you had at the bottom, you had the Jews, and a step above them were the blacks, and then a step above them were the Latinos. And so he had this thing all written out. Who was the highest evolved group? The Germans. And so by the rule of evolution, guess what? Who should control the world? Who should dominate the world? The Germans. Did they live out their philosophy? They tried to, didn't they? Communism had the same. How about Islam today? Do they think that they are the chosen ones? Everybody else is what? Subjected, or should be subjected, to what they believe. So love is no better than rape. That's why I was laughing the other night when I was at Donovan's thing, because all these, and I know there were a lot of Christians that got up there and spoke, but I'll guarantee you there were a lot of those professors were atheistic or agnostic. But every one of them, we need to help our fellow man. Why? Why? Says who? There was a guy there who was from Bally's in Las Vegas, and you could tell this guy, he was well off. He had a lot of money. I think they flew him in because they were trying to get a grant from him, you know, down the line. But he ran a hotel there, and he was dealt with their computers and their security and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I was just thinking to myself, here this guy's job is working to take money from people. He wasn't interested in helping them. He was interested in helping, you know, the casino owners gain some money. So all these different things, if there is no God, all these things you can't say are right or are wrong. Okay? All right. Ed, would you go back to the PowerPoint there? We've got a couple more little videos there too. Okay. So we have, here's a point of contention, is there a God? And we just saw the little video there. And Human Thinking will tell us, if you know Time Magazine, is God dead? This was a cover. Time Magazine was great. They always had kind of modern questions that were on. This is from years ago. They actually came out with another cover that said, is God alive? Because there had been a resurgence of religious belief. The problem is there's all sorts of religious belief. You know, which God are you talking about?
I believe the original was in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, everything was in the 70s. About, you know, that was a decade there. We just tuned in and, you know. Yeah. The biblical thinking, we're told in Hebrews 11:6, what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So the first step is to believe that there's a God. That's where, you know, that's where it all starts. All of the thinking is predicated upon one or two ideas. Either there is a God or there isn't a God. If there isn't a God, how do we live our lives? And if there is a God, what does he want from us? What's he like? What does he command of us? Why did he create? These are all answers and questions that we need to ask. So you can see there was a conflict between the two. Richard Dawkins, who is a modern atheist, and you'll see him on a lot of, in fact, you'll see him in a video here in a minute. He says, there is no God. Science has all the answers. Evolution is proved beyond all doubt. Now, is that a true statement? Does science have all the answers? Can science tell you the truth about anything? Very good. Remember I said science can never tell you the truth. It gives you a close approximation. And I used the example before. I said, let's do a scientific experiment. Let's take Sammy there, and we have a scale in here, and we put Sammy on the scale and say, we want to find out how much Sammy weighs. 225.7. Yeah. Yeah. And when he got married, he weighed 215. Okay, so we say, Sammy, all right, we're going to conduct an experiment here. Step on the scale. First one, 225.7. Is that how much he weighs? No. If you're going to do a scientific experiment, what do you got to do? You got to repeat it. So he says, Sammy, step off. So we put up on the board 225.7. And then Sammy steps back up there. And now it's 225.5. You ever get on a scale and see it varies a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Then are we done with our experiment? No, we got to do that over and over and over and over again. So we do it 100 times, and we got all these different numbers, and they're all in a range of 225.5 to 225.9. Say they're in that range. All right, which one is that? How much he weighs? We don't know. So how do they figure it out? They add them up, and they might divide it, or they might throw out the highest and lowest. There's different ways they do it, the mode, the median, and I forget what the other one was. But, you know, huh? The means. Okay, and so you ask yourself, how did you choose that? Well, it was up to the experimenter which method he used. Okay, then you have to assume that the equipment was correct. You have to assume that your eyes are giving you the right information. I mean, there's all these assumptions that are built into
why?
It.
You're assuming we start at zero.
Yes.
Why would you assume that? That's open for debate, isn't it?
It sure is. What is zero? That's exactly. I mean, you can get into all these ideas that you just kind of shake your head. But you can see what I'm saying. Science will never give you 100% accuracy. Never. And you, when you read philosophers of science, so why do we put our faith in? How many times have they changed the age of the Earth since the 60s? You know, in the 60s, it was like, you know, the Earth is 100 million years old. Is that how old the Earth is according to evolutionary thinking? No, now it's, you know, 10 to 20 billion years old. And it changes every few years.
Wow. Anybody that has any textbook, look at the first page, bottom. A bridge, 1969. A bridge, 19. What's it? What's a bridge means? Changed. Why was it changed? Because something was wrong.
That's
so
right.
For years, they were teaching something that was wrong, correct? That's why they changed it.
Hey, I don't know if you guys know this, but life didn't originate on the Earth. Where did it originate now? Now, I'm not kidding you. This is where they're saying it originated.
Mars.
Thank you. Now, we'd be laughed out of school. Excuse me, professor. Everybody knows now we came from Mars. Yeah. And if you think I'm kidding, look it up. You'll see. They have written periodicals and come out with papers because they know it was impossible for life to begin here. They have to now deposit that it started somewhere else.
More and more scientists are jumping onto that theory.
Yes.
And agreeing with them.
Yeah.
Soon that may become the norm.
Well, you know, you have scientists that are world-class mathematicians, and they believe aliens planted or seeded the Earth because they know that it was impossible for life to form itself. I mean, these guys are brilliant. They've been watching too much of that Discovery Channel, you know, ancient alien theorist or whatever those guys call themselves.
If it was on the Discovery Channel, it has to be true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And by the way, they discovered Bigfoot, too. I just want to let you guys know that. So
he was also, the newest theory, he was an alien.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the truth. I'm not kidding. Yeah. That's the latest thing with Bigfoot. So, he was an alien planted here.
Here you have Richard Dawkins, a world-renowned scientist. He's a biologist, so he shouldn't even be making these type of statements. He knows better, but he's promoting an atheistic view of life. And so you can never acknowledge the opposition. The Human Manifesto, which the humanist, if that is really the philosophy that our politicians and most of our leaders today adhere to. Back in the 40s, back in the 70s, they had a group that called themselves humanist. And that's really the philosophy of our society today, humanism. Man is the ultimate standard. This is no, in their manifesto, it says, no deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Is that a religious statement? Do they have a religious belief? Is that against what Christianity teaches? Yeah. So should we oppose these type of things? Yes. All right? Elvin Plantinga, he was a philosopher, a Christian philosopher in Notre Dame. He says, belief in God is the heart and center of the Christian religion. Is that true? Yeah. It is the Christian position that history, theology, philosophy, science, mathematics, and logic all point to the existence of God. In other words, all of life points to this eternal being somewhere. They may not have the revelation like the Bible teaches it, but the Bible says that man is without excuse, that by looking at creation itself, that it shows or it gives you this sense that there's something else out there. But all these disciplines, once again, are, you can't even have these things. You can't have science unless Christianity is true. Why do I say that? Because science says that the world is what? It's an orderly place. It's repeatable. Does evolution teach that? Does evolution teach an order? No, it teaches chaos. That things just go off in any direction they want. What kind of philosophy do you develop from that? Well, you develop a chaos theory. Okay? So we see that there's points of contention there. We see how these ideas clash with each other. All right. Oh, you're going to love this one. Here's Richard Dawkins. He says, I am an African ape. This is 30 seconds long, and he's talking to a black guy. Now, this guy is, once again, considered one of the greatest minds in the world. I don't consider him that, but listen to what he says.
I'm an ape.
Yeah.
Are you, Bishop?
I'm not. Yeah. Definitely I'm not. I'm special.
I'm an ape. I'm an African ape. Yeah. And I'm very proud to be an African ape.
Yeah.
And so should you be.
Okay. I'm surprised that guy didn't just haul. That guy was a bishop in a church over in Africa. And he's talking with Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is trying to convince him, you know, I'm an African ape. And so are you. Now, walk up to a local black guy walking around the street. I wish Omar was here so we could see Omar's reaction. Omar, you know, hey, you know, Omar would probably punch the guy in the head. We're not apes. We're created in the image of God. Right? Are you an ape, Sammy? Yeah, you are an ape. You're a bull. Sammy the Bull. That's his nickname. We took him on a mission trip. You know, Sammy never watches where he goes. He just runs into something like a bull in a china shop and just breaks everything up. All right. Let's go on. So we see here, what is man? Well, obviously, Richard Dawkins says man is what? He's an ape. And so if he's an ape, he's going to act like an ape, right? Let's see here. How we become human. What's the message? Is that a religious message that they're putting on their cover? Oh, yeah. That's a message of origins. Does all religions teach a view of origins? Yep. That's why I'm saying you can never separate church and state because the state is always a reflection of a religious belief of a people. All right? So here we have how we became human. You got the little cute little baby there. I think that is Chelsea and Randy's little baby. Hold him up. Where's he at? Where'd Chelsea go with him? Oh, she took him out? Took him. He's probably swinging on a rope out here somewhere. Okay? Got a banana in his mouth. Hey, I'm not kidding you. This is the way the world thinks. But what does the Bible say? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created him, says in Genesis. You see, there's a distinction between the animal kingdom in mankind. Though we have a lot of similarities, the body types and the DNA. You know, they'll tell you DNA, this is what they used to tell you, DNA 99% the same between humans and chimpanzees. Well, they've changed that. It's about 94, 93%. And that sounds like it's pretty close, doesn't it? But the truth of the matter is you have so many different billion pairs of DNA that when you find out how much difference that 4 or 3% is, it's a lot. But you can see they're similar. They both got two eyes. They got a nose. They got a mouth. The baby doesn't have whiskers yet. Okay, they got ears. There's a difference. You remember that movie Planet of the Apes? And it was really based on the idea of evolution. The apes were the ones that evolved, and humans were the ones that were, you know, the morons and needed to be rounded up. And okay, so we see that's a point of contention. I'm telling you, every area of life there's contention. How about your finances? You think there'd be contention in your finances? Yeah. What is man? Richard Dawkins, the atheist. It is. This is the same guy that was looking at the black bishop, telling him he was nothing but an African ape. It is the plain and simple truth, once again, he's speaking of truth, that we are cousins of chimpanzees, somewhat more distant cousins of monkeys, more distant cousins still of aardvarks and manatees, yet more distant cousins of bananas and turnips. I mean, we laugh at that, and we go, are you kidding me? You know, Fred, your great 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 grandfather was a banana.
Well, I ate him the other day.
Yeah.
Pastor Don, that's where that saying come from. He just fell off the turnip truck.
That's right. Okay. Now, once again, this guy teaches at Cambridge and at Oxford. He travels all over the world, and this is what he teaches. And people flock to him and buy his books, and you go, you got to be kidding me. I mean, what does that, if we're nothing more, and once again, if you're nothing more than a more highly evolved piece of fruit or turnip, guess what we do with rotten fruit? Just like Bob said, you toss it off the truck. What do you do with humans that aren't as evolved as far as you? You can get rid of them, can't you? How many they get rid of over in Nazi Germany? Because they were not highly evolved. They're lesser. They're subspecies of humanity. James Orr, Christian, man, in virtue of his endowment, aligning him with his maker is, as the animals, are not a personal self-conscious being capable of conceptual thought, of rational speech, of education, of development, of progress, capable also, therefore, of moral, self-regulated life. The enormous difference of potentiality involved in all this points to a distant cause and puts a gulf between man and the animals, which no evolutionary theory has proved capable of bridging. In other words, he was saying, man is so different than the animals, you can't bridge the gap. You see any chimpanzees creating skyscrapers or bridges or doing advancement? No. You see him taking a stick and beating a banana to make it fall off the tree. Okay?
You could take that even a step further. Most scientific involvement has come from Western civilization because of belief in God.
That's exactly right. All science, all medicine advanced because of Christianity. We'll skip over that when I'm going to get to the end here. Where did everything come from? Human thinking, once again, the Big Bang. If I showed you the video, in the video, they will teach you that billions and billions of years ago, there was nothing. And then there was a thing called a singularity. It was 1/1,000,000,000th the size of an electron. Now, how big is an electron? It's pretty small. But the singularity was 1/1,000,000,000th the size of that, and everything in the universe was in that little point.
Where did that little point come from?
Well, that's a good question. It just popped into existence. That's what they believe. Yeah. It came from nothing. Yeah. Now, we believe that God spoke the worlds into existence. So they didn't come from nothing. It came from his ultimate power, didn't they? Did we ever see anything come into existence from nothing? No. Is that scientific?
No.
So this whole theory is based on an unscientific so-called fact. All right? Biblical thinking. Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him. John 1, 3 and verse 10. So we're told right there in John's gospel, John, who was the closest disciple to Jesus, they understood he created everything. They saw him. He raised the dead. He calmed the water. They go, who is this guy who can speak to the wind and to the rain and to the waves? Well, they understood who he was later. He was Yahweh. He was the self-existent one. He was the creator of everything. Okay? Where'd everything come? Paul Davis, atheist agnostic. Let's see what he says. A universe that came from nothing. Am I lying to you? No. That's what they believe. In the Big Bang, will disappear into nothing at the Big Crunch. It's glorious few zillion years of existence, not even remember. Everything like a balloon. Zhoop, and then after a zillion years, zhoop, and it disappears. Kind of like a cartoon. You ever see, you know, something pops in and then, you know, disappears. Now, this Marilyn Vos Savant, she's a Christian. She's got the highest IQ in the world. And she says, I think that if it had been a religion that first maintained the notion that all the matter in the universe, the entire universe, had once been contained in an area smaller than the point of a pin, scientists probably would have laughed at the idea. You see, because if Christians would have said it, they'd have laughed at it and rejected it outright. But because some scientists said it, oh, we got to give them credibility. Obviously, they're more smarter than everybody. Okay, I want you to see this video, and then we're going to close. Who determines what is right and what is wrong? Go ahead. This one here, I'll probably play just a couple minutes of it, but you'll get the idea once again.
I'm going to define morality the way that I want to define morality because it works out for me. And that is the battle cry of the world these days. How do we confront that? Well, perhaps with this reductio ad absurdum.
Listen to the dialogue in this movie.
Hello, Dr. Pomeranke. I heard your lecture tonight at the college on criminal biology. DNA, instinct, and aggression. It was a well thought out presentation, but a bit abstract. Too academic, if you ask me. What I want to know is, have you ever really lived out your theory? Or are you content writing your papers inside your ivory tower, torturing your captive audience of students with your intellectual posturing?
What do you want from me?
I'm here to test your hypothesis. You're a sociobiologist, are you not?
Yes.
Well, in your lecture, you argued for the genetic origins of crime. Biology determines behavior. Well, I'd like to debate you on that. Only in this debate, the stakes are real. If you win, I let you go. If I win, that's part of the proposition.
What proposition?
The issue resolved. There is no valid reason why I should not kill you. Debating for the negative, Professor Pomeranke. And for the affirmative, yours truly.
You are going to kill me. Yeah. I'll do anything you say.
Stimulus response?
Please don't kill me.
Give me one good reason.
Okay. It's illegal. Murder's illegal. You'll go to jail.
I don't plan on being caught.
But it's wrong to kill.
Professor, don't go getting all moral on me.
You said that our DNA determines our behavior. DNA has no morality.
It's abnormal. Your DNA is abnormal.
Abnormality has to do with statistical averages, Professor, not right or wrong.
But society agrees killing is wrong.
Society is another word for statistical average. We're not all from the same gene pool, either.
That doesn't make it right.
And it doesn't make it wrong.
Our species won't survive if we allow killing.
You mean you won't survive? I will. Me, in my DNA.
Okay,
you're a sick man.
Okay, just real quick, you hopefully see the contrast here. You have a college professor, teaches, you know, sociobiology, teaches that man is nothing but an evolved animal. There is no right or wrong. You're a product of your genes or your hereditary or society. The other guy here is a monster. He's a murderer. But he's brilliant, and he's using his philosophy against them. If you truly believe this, what I'm about to do is not right, and it's not wrong. Can you give me one good reason why I should not kill you? And he starts, you know, well, it's not legal. Well, we've already learned what? Hey, we can change the law, right? Used to be slavery was bad, then it was good. Used to be abortion was bad, now it's good. Used to be homosexual marriage was bad. Now it's good. So we could change the law, make good what was bad and bad what was good. So none of the answers that he gave, he couldn't come out and say, because he wasn't a believer in God, and say, let me tell you why it's wrong, because God says murder is wrong. And that was the answer that he was looking for, but he knew the guy would never say it. But as the movie goes on, he pleads, well, you know, have mercy on me, you know. And the guy says, oh, wait a minute. You know, there's no mercy in evolution, is there? All right, let me show you one more quote. Go back there, and then we're going to close in prayer here. I think it was called Deadly Logic is the name of the movie. Okay? Here we have what happened to ethics, the way we should live, biblical thing, keep my decrees and laws, for the person who obeys them will live by them. I'm the Lord. That's why God gave his people the Ten Commandments. That's why he gave them all these various laws. Okay? Let me just go back up here. Yeah. Richard Dawkins against... We're going to end with this. Universal love and the welfare of the species as a whole are concepts that simply do not make any evolutionary sense. That was the guy telling the black guy that he was nothing but an African ape. Now, if that guy had hauled off and beat the hell out of him, do you think Richard Dawkins would have objected? Oh, yeah. And if I was the bishop, I'd say, excuse me, I'm just living by your philosophy. Survival of the fittest, buddy. I didn't like what you said, so I'm exterminating you. Man is a moral creature created in God's image, and we have certain absolute moral obligations towards all men. Why? Because God told us we have these obligations. Okay? So when we come back next week, once again, we're going to pull some points. I have some little videos. But once again, can you see that there's a contrast between the world thinks, and the way the world thinks, or the Christians think, and how they conflict. And if we lived according to their, consistently according to their philosophy, what do you think happened to society? It'd fall apart. And so they have to steal from the Christian philosophy or worldview or from biblical principles and apply them. Otherwise, they couldn't live together. So, any questions before we close here real quick? Elma, would you close us in prayer? Thank you. Elma, got the...
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone that came out this morning. Lord, we just pray that we can meditate on your world, on your word. May we prepare for the service today, Lord. Just bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.